This is the Bachelor Masters coming at you from Los Angeles, where I am once again in my old factory, now apartment building. And they've ramped up the work they're doing on the outside of the building. It sounds like a full-on construction zone because we have these floor-to-ceiling factory windows, which are very cool, and we have a great view. But consequently, you can hear just about everything. So I don't know if the mic's going to pick it up or not. That seems like a podcaster thing to do, is announce any audio flaws. I don't think The Bachelor Masters has been that much of a audio quality policing enterprise. So we'll just roll with the punches. But EZR, as you know, because I've been complaining about this all morning in our text chat, I am exhausted, totally exhausted, wiped out. I did not sleep a wink last night. So the only problem there is that my brain has lost all empathy, just like Luke P. I can't muster emotions anymore.
I see.
But one thing I have noticed, it's cutting out my use of the word like, which, you know, I don't like. Like. And I listened to our podcast from last week, and I don't know what happened. I don't know what combination of caffeine and processed food I ate, but I was on a like roll. And so it was apropos to watch this episode, because there was one sentence early on where Hannah says the word like 5 times in one sentence. And it was pretty cool because it was actually a really grammatically correct, well-formed sentence. It just had the word like in it 5 times. All right, there's my intro rant. I'm going to go to sleep now. The podcast is yours. Take it away.
Woohoo! I don't know. It was interesting because...
Well, first, I think it seems only a friend thing to do to at least acknowledge what I just said about running on 2 days without sleep. Hey, Craig, I feel for you. I hope you feel better. You can get some sleep.
Well, I don't... I'm not...
I mean, right? Am I, is that, I guess. That's like what friends do, right? Like, hey, I'm sorry to hear that.
Okay, I'm sorry to hear that. It's very insincere for me.
Well, it's like when you when two radio hosts pass from one to the other, they usually have some sort of linking statement,
that
right?
Feel so fake to you.
Yeah, in fact, there's some broadcasters teams that don't do it. That's on purpose, but feel better. Now, on to what you
Let's
said about
break
Hannah.
The mold here. Not okay. Care about
we
each
will
other.
We will do no passing of the batons anymore. And no likes. If I say the word like, seriously, and we're gonna, yeah. I'm not gonna edit it out. I want you to chastise
I would love
me.
To, like, press a button that electrocutes you to wake you up.
Okay, and no you knows. We gotta watch our you knows.
That's very hard. That one's very difficult because
you know doesn't trigger me. It doesn't trigger me like does. So I can deal with you know. But like,
yeah, right. You know is difficult because it actually means
you
something.
Know.
It means you know. It means, have I set this up properly? Do you already know this?
Right.
And so it makes sense. Like makes sense too, because I think the sentence you're talking about didn't stand out to me, but it was her way of saying something in, again, like softening a blow.
Right.
So
yeah, and we did a whole podcast on the word like.
Yes, we did.
Last season. So it's not.
Right. Okay. So just
on
for
the show.
Context, we left off last week where she got both Lukes in a room to make sure that they're to see if either one comes out with who's telling the truth or not.
Right.
Now, Tequila Luke, which is what I'm going to call him, which I'm sure is going to call himself that in a few years anyway, did not defend himself well. And it, you know, if you're going to go on The Bachelorette as Chris would say, and you're not going to promote something, then it's you're not doing yourself any, then you shouldn't go.
Do you have a Chris clip that's kind of in that? So I wouldn't mind hearing Chris's voice you have something close to that.
I don't really. I mean, him being cynical was so par for the course.
I know.
That
just play the recorded Chris bit. I just need to pick me up.
Okay.
Oblivion and a fulfilling existence.
Oh, see, I got all warm inside and I sunk into the couch here. Very good. Well, there's a Twitter account. It was, I don't know if anyone actually took the steps to set this up, but it was mentioning the Luke Tequila brand GoFundMe.
So to be fair, like, he can't be, the Tequila Luke can't be 100% righteous about this. Right. He probably did mention it. Right. And so I think, so at first when he left, I kind of had the same reaction that Bachelor Nation does, like, oh, he likes her so much, why'd he leave? Yeah. But Mark, my significant other, happened to watch it from the kitchen and said, that makes sense why he's sending himself home. He doesn't want to deal with it. And actually what makes more sense is that the producers sent him home because they don't want Luke versus Luke is very, very difficult.
Yeah, it's volatile.
Decipher.
It's become very clear that bro Luke, he's totally inconsistent. It's sociopathic. He has no concern for the truth. And that's scary for the producers, I imagine. So yeah, Tequila Luke probably mentioned, like, oh yeah, I'm working on, you know, when they're all just sitting around one day with nothing to do. And then sociopathic Luke can twist and turn that all zillions of different ways. And it's just all the guys are exhausted trying to even make sense of it all. So I buy into Mark, the fourth Bachelor Masters theory, that the producers maybe sent him home to save him for Bachelor in Paradise or something.
Yeah, or, you know, just the fact that Luke, Tequila Luke, wanted to not be part of any kind of drama like that. Because really, he's in terms of alpha male type people, and I hate using that term because I don't think it's always applicable. He's not the kind of guy you'd imagine being entangled with a villain. So he's probably feeling threatened and annoyed and frustrated. So that is the best thing to do, is take yourself out of the situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Making this even more complicated as we watch the Rose Ceremony on our unofficial sponsor Hulu playback. It's just confusing that now we're left with 10 guys all named Luke.
Kind of. Yeah, they.
It's like Rick and Morty. I know you don't watch that show, but people went. We got Luke P. We got Little Luke. We got Tequila Luke. We got Left-Handed Luke. Blue Luke.
They're definitely more of like a dizzying number of guys that look very similar in this, and not just the way they look, but the way they act. They're all coming for sociopath Luke in such a mob mentality way that it's really even easier to blur them. So, so just to jump forward and then we'll jump back and get back to this. Yeah, Luke, sociopath Luke, said something during Hannah. Well, after Tequila Luke's gone, we don't have to do that anymore. You know, just be the only crazy Luke.
The calling him sociopath Luke, even if he's the only Luke, I think we make the exception and continue just because it's just, if you start a sentence with sociopath Luke, comma, everything you say after that is framed well.
That's a huge problem I have, though. That's what the men are doing. That he's not bad, but there's only a few men that, fellow contestants that are treating him just like whatever. And that's what you should do to a villain. Everyone else is just intensely contemplating on it.
Chad, what, you know, all the past villains secretly you root for, just like a movie, right? That's what the fun of villains or whatever, right? But this Luke, it's erratic and uncomfortable to watch, and not in a good way. Because so when Mike sat down with him, right? Because there's just them two while everyone was off doing the. Mike was like, "Well, you said this," and Luke was like, "No, I didn't." What I didn't understand was why Mike didn't directly quote him from
Mike that. Wasn't there by what you're talking about. Mike wasn't there when so Mike was off on his date. Luke was home knowing he was going to get the one-on-one. Okay. And that's what bothers me.
We're arguing over Luke.
Yeah. Because I'm not playing devil's advocate. I don't like when a bunch of people gang up on one guy, even if he is the villain. He's not someone who has threatened anybody or been so angry that he's throwing, you know, he's not Chad. Chad was angry where it was scary.
That's true.
And they are twisting his words. And I can see how that one, that can drive someone who's already unstable.
That's the root of our difference here, because they're not twisting his word. Luke will literally say something more than once. And it's not even like he's pretending. He has no memory of himself saying it.
Okay.
This is where the editors on this show are different than the Bravo editors, because what Bravo shows are absolutely perfect on doing, and this is well documented, is if someone says something, they didn't do something, they'll immediately cut to a collage of them doing exactly what they said. And it's just, it's like a Bravo thing that everyone loves. They don't really do flashbacks on The Bachelor. It's too bad, because it would have been great to just smack Luke with that. But the show's not about, the show's about trying to make the guys look good, because they could eventually end up as the winner or whatever.
Yeah. So let me. So there has to be some kind of like redemption story possible.
Yeah.
But here's, okay, since we're already on it, I didn't want to skip ahead this much, but let's do it. This is what Luke actually said, and then we'll talk about what happened with Mike.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely stoked. I can't wait to not have any distractions and just to focus on my relationship with her. I feel like, just to be honest, I'm at the breaking point where, you know, after this, I'm going to really know if I really want to be here still. And I hope that I really find clarity in how I feel about her.
If you find that you're not here and you're not interested in Hannah in that way, then be honest about it. You have gone kind of back and forth in regard to like whether or not you are or you aren't. Just be honest. I want to give Luke P the benefit of the doubt, but honestly, at this point, I just feel like he's a big ass douche canoe.
Okay, that's. I mean, that doesn't that prove my point? He literally said, "I'm even deciding whether or not I want to be here or not."
Right.
And he said that on multiple episodes, and then when Mike sat down with him and said, "You've mentioned that you're still, you're, you know, trying to figure out maybe you don't want to be here," he's like, "I didn't say that."
I think he's referring to the fact that he doesn't want to be on a show where a lot of men are just after him and trying to catch him on every little thing. I did feel that way. And on the group date, they're still talking about him. They're talking about him not being there and how great that is. And then Mike went on his date. That little conversation you just heard between, I think it was Dustin and Luke. No, it was Devin.
No, it's tall hair Luke and blue Luke. And I'm trying to be funny.
Okay. That conversation you just heard was between Devin and Luke. Devin called them a douche canoe.
Wait.
Okay, we'll ask that and we'll talk about it later.
Did you pull that out? He said douche canoe in that
yes.
you just listened to?
Yes.
Oh, I missed it. I was too focused on, oh my gosh. That's how tired I am. I can only focus on one thing at a time. I was focused on what Luke was saying and we gotta come back to that douche canoe, because that brilliant.
Okay.
But you already knew that.
Yeah, okay. Look, Mike's on his date, that little conversation happens. And I guess the guys report back to Mike the way they do to other guys, the way they do to Tyler. They're kind of like the shock collar jocks and saying, like, this is what Luke did while you were gone. Go get him. And it's so frustrating, because the best way to get a bully like that to kind of go away or to be better is to act better. And I think they're acting immature about it. I know it's for ratings, and I know they're probably all being led to be acting this way, but they're making him crazier. And
I have a psychological warfare. Isolation. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah.
I just have a big problem with the way they're treating him, because they're acting in a mob mentality way. They already have everything against him, and he probably can't like use the restroom without getting criticized at this point. Uh-huh. And that's really hard to live in, even if you are trying to be mentally strong and you know you're on a show and it'll be over soon. That's got to be rough. You got to sometimes feel for the villain too. And since you mentioned villains, people that are villains have won before. Courtney.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you can go back as far as there was this British prince on once who was the Bachelor, and the winner was Lorenzo Lamas's granddaughter.
Right.
And she was a lot like Corinne.
Yeah.
And, you know, like the fact that Nick Viall came up second place twice, I think is a win in a lot of ways. And so I don't, barring a Chad who was aggressive and rude and
now a successful podcaster.
Oh, really? I didn't know. This is, it's not cut and dry. You know, 80% of it's Luke's fault, but these guys are so jockey and mob mentality alpha males that I don't think they're in the right either.
It's tough to make agreeing with each other good radio.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, no,
what you said right there was spot on, EZR.
Does it help you that we're disagreeing with 90% of Bachelor Nation?
Oh, yeah. I like that I'm trying to die on the cross for your meme on Twitter. When people I follow or like last night post something about Mike being the Bachelor in a positive way, I reply, he's got to answer for, you know, what we've talked about. And then I'll post a link to your Instagram post. This is old news to our listeners, but
yeah,
I'm glad we're taking up these causes. I don't think we're picking on Mike. I think that's just one of a few things that you pointed out in our last week's episode that we are kind of significantly diverging from Bachelor Nation on, which we've always done, but it seems like these days we're doing it much more frequently.
This is really strange for me because I've never been, there's been times in Bachelor Nation history or Bachelor show history that I've been out of step and I'm annoyed, but okay. The producers, okay, if everyone's going to take this kind of identity politics role in it, and Craig, please don't start with your spiel. Just let me do mine because I think I'm a little bit more in the middle.
When it's just two of us, I interrupt you a lot, so I'm going to try really hard to not interrupt you.
Okay, if we're going to talk about identity politics type stuff, then we should all kind of address the fact that we're watching a show called The Bachelorette, made after The Bachelor, all men producers, all men editors, very few, well, not all men producers, but only because they need some relatability.
Yeah.
With a woman. And that's why you all of a sudden see a woman.
The handlers.
The handlers, like,
yeah,
right.
The handlers, yeah.
They're considered producers, but you're right.
Yeah, exactly.
They're just the way a producer can be a guy giving money to somewhere halfway around the world or can be on set, you know, taking people back and forth because there's not many hands. And they're all waiting. I mean, how early on was Mike promised The Bachelor? I know we've kind of addressed this, but it must have been really early on. And everyone in Bachelor Nation is just like we said last time, trying to stake their claim, their, you know, virtue signaling that, yes, yep, we want Mike into The Bachelor. Oh my God, that makes me a non-racist. This is great. I can, you know, want a guy like this, and he's the leader of the pack. This is awesome. Now, so the fact that he's placed there as the good guy, everyone's rooting for him. He is not the underdog. He is not someone you're like rooting for. And we laid out last time why it's honestly problematic that he be the Bachelor. Again, not that he has to be perfect. That is, you know, exemplary, whatever, people of color is a problem too. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that he might not be looking for love. I'm also saying there's a lot wrong with a lot of people wanting him to be the Bachelor the way they're doing it, because right, they're ignoring his use of a miscarriage story. If you want to listen to that, that's in our last podcast. So if people are just looking for a Black Bachelor, because that's what it sounds like, which is honestly okay in its own way.
Right.
Why not Dustin or Devin? And like good guys that want to find a wife.
Well, this is where you and I will never agree. And Chris was sort of in the middle, is that you don't mind pulling past runners up to be the Bachelor or Bachelorette. I absolutely cannot stand it. I deal with it, obviously. So I was just going to say, comma, or any other Black male on earth that's single can be the first Black Bachelor. Why does it have to be been on the show?
Do you know what the problem is now? That we're expecting so much continuity and so much little insights into their character beforehand that you can no longer do that. Like, even when they, who's the old Khloe Kardashian was, it was obviously like a PR stunt through Twitter. where she was floated around as possibly being the Bachelorette.
It drives me nuts that he goes into an old-time bookstore. That's it. I mean, we are sold and delivered. And now you know anything about this person. And there's a zillion people on Earth going against Bachelor Nation. It's just our herd mentality as a fandom that we're putting up with this. Let me footnote that by saying, I'm sorry, you could be the dullest bulb on the block and you would find some way to be charming on a date in an old time bookstore.
Sure.
Spring Street, the last bookstore it's called.
Yeah, yeah.
It's everyone's favorite bookstore. Okay, all right.
Here's why. Let me just make the smallest case for Dustin and Devin, because we don't know. See, and all these people that are virtue signaling at home about Mike being the Bachelor, I bet you they can't tell Dustin and Devin apart. So don't even start about a black.
Yeah.
That's how I feel, because
that
I can't.
That is a heavy statement.
I like both of these guys, included with someone like John Paul Jones, who's cut, right? Mateo, who also did not get into the issue, Mateo also cut.
You're because cut.
They are, not only are they, genuine, they probably want actually a career, they actually probably do want to get married soon, but they're also staying kind of neutral despite the douche canoe comment. They're weighing their options. They're not up front and center the way Dylan and Garrett have to prove their manhood against Luke. And it's just so frustrating. Mm-hmm. They are actually kind of being, they're not in their mind starting every sentence with sociopath Luke. I feel like they're giving him kind of the benefit of the doubt each and every time. Mm-hmm. And I think that's completely fair. That's an interesting bachelor. That's not someone that's put there for us. So I kind of like, why don't we tout them? And I think maybe me and you should. Anyway, so okay. That's my littlest.
The Bachelor Masters wields. If we go in supporting someone, that's going to ripple throughout the 20 million people who watch this show every week.
We definitely are. We're capable of planting seeds. And I think that's enough sometimes, because we're not going to go against Elan, whatever, the producer guy, or Mike Fleiss. Those are the two producers. Everyone else is just for show.
Yeah. I'm in the Rose Pricks private Facebook group, which is really just about comedy. That's no knock on it. It's really great group. I don't ever post, because it's not a place. I guess you could say EZR and I are officially going on record in support of Devin, and here's our case. I think if we had like an image to go with that, we could do it. I think we could do that. And that probably hit way more people than our fledgling Twitter account.
Okay, let me start this podcast over now that we've gone through some heavy stuff.
Well, okay. Can I talk about Scotland? I got a lot to say about that.
It looks like, how all along we've been kind of quantifying what a season of The Bachelor or Bachelorette looks like. So it looks like week 5 is awesome. So far, even if I think back and look, somehow kind of feel week 5. It's the perfect time for if you're on there and you're looking for an adventure, right? Unfortunately, mm-hmm. John Paul Jones and Mateo didn't make it, and they seem very adventurous. Like, they're on The Bachelor to go places. Mm-hmm. There's all the romance, but there's not as much connections. So you don't cry when people go home. Like, she didn't care that she sent those people home. And she doesn't care if she breaks up with people either. Or the only one that made a difference to her was Luke. But we don't know how that will end, because she even said something like, I can't give you this rose, but the conversation kept going. So it sounds like there's room for convincing there. So that's how I want to press reset.
Can you play the Too Many Secrets drop?
Too many secrets.
That's right. There are too many secrets.
I don't really know what that means, Craig.
Have you seen the movie Sneakers?
No.
Oh, man. if Chris were here, we could go on. We'd probably talk an hour about that movie. It's a brilliant cult following, but also it was popular at the time. Robert Redford, River Phoenix, movie about spying and breaking into places and stuff like that. Too Many Secrets. There's got to be one person listening right now to the podcast. It's like, oh my gosh, I forgot about that movie. I love that. I'm gonna have to go back and watch it. Too Many Secrets. Easier.
Okay.
Quick fashion roundup preview. I feel like I've said this a zillion times. I'm part of the segment of the population that does not trust men that button the very top button on a button-down shirt.
Uh-huh. I don't trust them. They don't button the third, like when it's going too far down.
That's because we're bad boys.
That's you?
I don't like collars. You know that. I don't really mind that. So, but I do have, if I do need to wear like a button down, I have actually like a couple of like cool collarless shirts.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. I think it's such a sexy look to wear a black tank top, like a, you know, Mervyn's, Macy's, just a generic black tank top with the button down over it unbuttoned halfway down. I think that's
tell people that's you like, shop at Mervyn's. That
well, you know, I'm just packaged black
yeah.
tank top. So it's just like, I think it's like a super sexy look personally. But right place at the right time. more Bravo than The Bachelorette. Okay, can we talk about Scotland? I got a lot to say.
Yes, go ahead. I don't even know why you said that thing you just said.
About the button down?
Yeah. Who don't you trust that buttons their shirt all the way up?
Mike, we're looking right at him.
Oh, Mike. Oh, right. On his, he had the top.
After they're drinking the beers and he's wearing this faux denim button down with it buttoned all the way to the top.
Yeah, and it's even buttoned at the...
Yeah, the collars.
The collars, which bothers me because that's really hard to do with big hands.
I know.
So who did that and why?
Why did he buy a shirt that has it is a better question. Oh, my gosh. Everyone knows, I grew up idolizing Jesse from Full House, John Stamos, and he always had the different... They would all wear tuxedos, and his would be different, more sexy. That's just
you
the,
mean in the
world
beach
I live in. John Stamos, Uncle Jesse.
No, I know, but you mean that would happen when he was like playing music?
No, like on the show, like they would have something would happen in Full House, and they would the guys would be wearing tuxedos, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they'd all look like penguins, but then Jesse's would be different. Like,
okay.
Because he's a bad boy. So there'd be something about it that just was sexier and cooler. That's what I grew up with. Like, other kids grew up with baseball stars, and I grew up with that, which is why I care so much about how many buttons down you leave open and how a man should do his hair. It's not complicated, I don't think, but people look at me weird sometimes.
Okay.
I can see you looking at me weird.
Yeah, well.
Through the Skype.
I know you, but when I met you, I was like, why does he care?
Okay. Enough about me. Scotland. Oh, well, so this is going to be about me. Great.
Cool,
so my name is Craig.
Uh-huh.
In case you can tell. And despite me not having any iota of DNA from Scotland, Craig is a Scottish name.
Mm.
Yeah. A Craig in Scotland is a rocky outcropping. When they do all these sweeping, majestic shots of the beautiful, very northern part of Scotland where they're at, Inverness, and the River Ness, you see a lot of crags.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty cool. Now, it just so happens that the little neighborhood in Sunnyvale, in which I grew up, the streets were named after Scottish places. I grew up on a street called Firth, and a Firth is a rocky outcropping in the water. And it's off of Inverness, which is off of Loch Invar. And my parents named me Craig. I mean, it's just to me, it was like, pa. So I feel a deep connection to Scotland, even though a place I've never been. But I just have these visions of it. And I love seeing all these sweeping shots of it and everything like that. And of course, it's raining all the time. The furthest north I've been is Leeds, England, which is way up there. And that was super cool. Cold and chilly and light, what you would imagine it'd be like. Imagine northern Scotland even. Cooler. So anyway, We see lots of Craigs, we see lots of Firths, and they're in Inverness. It's just, it's pretty cool. And the last bit of trivia in vexology is that Scotland has the St. Andrew's Cross. Is that what it is? The X. So yeah. Some flags have a...
Yes, like, their flag with its white...
I just know this because my grandparents were Lutherans, and they went to a church called St. Andrew, and Andrew was one of the apostles. And after Jesus died and the apostles spread out, Andrew went to the British Isles and spread the good word. When the Romans crucified him on the cross, he's like, I am not worthy of dying like Jesus died, dying the same way Jesus died. So he had the tip the crossover. So he crucified with the cross tipped over, thus making it an X. And that's why it's called a St. Andrew's Cross.
Hmm.
And we see the Scottish, the blue, white Scottish flag quite a bit. So I think that's pretty interesting. I think Sheldon from Big Bang Theory would like that because he did a podcast on vexology,
Which
is the study of flags.
See? Yeah, I love flags. I would love to have done that, but then they took it and made a joke out of it. Okay.
I'm sure there are lots of vexology.
There might be, yeah. So,
douche, should we talk douche? Or we hold?
Go ahead.
At some point in Bachelor Master's history, Yumi and Chris declared that douche was not a bad word, which meant
yes. We
could say douche freely. I think we have Family Guy TV show, Family Guy to thank for that. But
interesting, yes.
It lost its connection in any way to the female anatomy, right? So it's
a cleaning product, so
of course, but it's not like the B word or the C word, which, you know, if you go to England, if you cut in line, you're a C word, and it's just always bothered me, and I'm sure it bothers lots of people because it is linked to the female anatomy. But douche has just lost that, so it's just a funny word now. I think that the S word is now legal tender because our president of the United States, remember, he said it during
SHIT.
So it's like if I say that in public now, like at work, I don't feel bad about it, to be honest, because it's like that's now free territory.
Yeah.
I probably would say S word in a work setting, but on the street I would say douche and not feel bad.
Okay. Where are you going with this?
I don't know. I'm so tired.
Okay.
You have no idea.
But give me the reins here.
Can we play the douche canoe bit and then cut out? I just want to hear it. It's such a perfect term.
Okay.
The doubt. But honestly, at this point, I just feel like he's a big-ass douche canoe.
I love it so much.
Oh, my God. You could just say anything now.
There's being literal, like criticizing somebody or an idea. And then there's below that, there's irony, right? Which is like a level of abstraction. And then down below that it is absurdity, which isn't used quite often because it uses a lot of non sequiturs. It doesn't hit, like a lot of people don't understand the joke. But there's a well-refined art of absurdity and... Yeah, non sequitur. Finely crafted things. And so when you have a non sequitur like douche canoe, that really just works. It's just elevates to a level irony and criticism could only hope to reach.
That's interesting. I would like to say that internet culture has we all know it hasn't seeped society. It is society. But it's interesting that the internet culture right now kind of takes all the old things we used to say as insults.
Mm-hmm.
And either you insult someone completely on the merits of their argument, which is honestly what it should have been all along, or you grab some random word and that's how you insult them, because calling someone an idiot and stupid apparently is, you know, you're insulting mentally disadvantaged people. So that's apparently out. Now, I'm not saying whether that's right or wrong. I'm just saying this is what internet culture says.
Judgment. Yeah.
Right. So right now, calling someone in my day, whatever, still, my head still says, what an idiot. What a stupid
Yeah, you're not, you shouldn't really say that anymore, right?
But I can't say that anymore. So now the way the internet has worked that in, so I see it all the time, is calling someone the most random thing ever, like that.
Like douche canoe.
Like a douche canoe, like a walnut, like a, I mean, seriously, anything. I've heard people.
This is hitting me on all registers. I love this.
You should check out that old internet there, Craig. It's all over the place. And it's a little... It's a little frustrating because it makes an argument so jokey. People start liking that thing that it dissuades, it distracts you from what's actually happening, what the argument is. So
this might surprise you, EZR. Mm-hmm. But when I was born, there was no internet.
Yeah. I know, but I'm just saying that you can't just say calling someone a novelty name makes everyone concentrate on that and makes people think, oh, that's so funny. Oh my gosh, I have to, and I see it all the time. I have to use that.
We can save a millennial conversation for another day. But as you know, I'm a big supporter of millennials, partly because I work with tons of millennials. And I think their community and broad culture and age group is amazing. And the things that they're doing to take ownership and change for the better, it just never ceases to amaze me. So little things like that. It's seemingly just one of those frustrating things, but it's really changing the idea of an insult in general, which is awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I can see the point there, and I'm officially a millennial.
Okay, we've done douche canoe to death. Now,
yes.
Since we're watching it on our unofficial sponsor, Hulu Playback, I love, and I don't want to make a value judgment on alcohol whatsoever, but Hannah has a drink or two of this Scottish whiskey, and she's just all over the guy. She, like, goes horizontal, I think, with four guys or three and a half.
Three. Well, actually...
I was actually laughing out loud, which I don't do very often.
The whiskey was with Mike, and this is another date. This is a group date.
Well, I think the dinner party. It's just she loosened up.
Right. Alcohol definitely is evolved. You can see it wine on the table.
Yeah.
So, right. This is a date. Oh, man. What a mess of a date. Right. She definitely.
Well, she broke down the can I steal you thing. I think when they write the history of this episode, that's going to get lost. But that's the magic of this, is that there's no can I steal you. And it's just she's actually having little mini dates with guys, which is what these whole things were supposed to be when they invented it.
Yeah.
I like
this. Yeah. It's definitely sexual. Peter, Jed, and Garrett, I think. Wait, erase that. Don't even let me say the names because I don't remember the names.
Oh, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
Luke, and Luke.
Oh my God.
I'm going to start laughing uncontrollably at random stuff because I'm starting to hit that threshold of tiredness.
Oh, right. I love that time.
I enter a new plane.
Ugh. Well, it's either Connor or Tyler. So it's definitely Jed, Peter, and then Connor or Tyler, which I really can't tell the difference between. That she, even if they're, especially if they're standing next to each other, if they're separately, then I can tell. You know, I think Tyler has he's the bro guy that they ate live lobsters with, and then Connor is the guy that went and visit her when she's sick, but there's really hard for me to tell the difference between them, right. Except when they speak. So So she has so this is kind of what I was talking about. Week five magic is that it's so great. She's sexually interested, but she doesn't know enough about them to care if they get cut, which is awesome.
Yeah.
And this is what you look forward to in the show. Cause after this, it becomes way too emotional. Right. And you can see why, because of this week.
How many things left on your list? Because really the only biggie is this disaster of a date with Luke.
My last big thing on the list is just something that she said that was really interesting. Because me and you were debating about Hannah's past, whether she's had boyfriends, whether she hasn't.
Right,
she said
something
interesting during Mike's date. That there was no chemistry on at all. And they were just together in the same room. Okay, here we go.
Hit it.
Past 2 years, I would say, has been so eye-opening for me. I realized that, like, I've been living my life from man to man and adapting myself to those relationships because I didn't love myself enough. And even though there were nights where I would just cry and feel completely broken, I became the person I was supposed to be through that.
So this actually can jump right into the Luke date, because here she is again kind of making excuses for somebody. And that whole jumping from man to man and adapting, what it sounds like she's saying is she's adapting herself to each guy she's with, is what she's trying to fight with Luke. She's trying not to just take his answers for face value, but I think that's what she's used to doing.
Yeah, but I think most young people on the dating scene could say those exact words. Who doesn't go from person to person and adapt to the situation? I'm not criticizing her, because she just put into words exactly what it is to be her age.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that, except that there are people that don't, because there are people that are getting adapted too, right? There are people that have a trajectory that is, you know, whatever it is. Let's say the most common one is, I'm going to go to this school because I said I was going to go to that school, and that after that, like, I'm going to go into this.
Yeah.
Okay. Whatever you say. I never saw that.
Well, no. Okay.
Too young for it. But I'm sure she followed her guy, right? I remember more or less that she followed a guy, and then that's where she cut her hair. So I think it's interesting with the Luke thing, because I've actually, maybe this is why I'm defending Luke, but I've dated a Luke. And it was horrible. It was the worst, absolute worst boyfriend I've ever had. Absolute worst everything time in my life.
So this was not the first date trip to Vegas.
No. It should have been what would have been the happiest time of my life. I had just graduated college. I was trying to get my first job. I was finally being financially solvent, and I had something behind me that I could say I have something that will make me an independent person, but I dated a Luke. This is hard, because everything Luke's do, and right after I broke up with him twice, as in we broke up months or weeks, you know, weeks and months passed, and then we got back together, and it was worse the second time. You know, an alcoholic, completely selfish, so many things, a liar, gaslighting me constantly. So many things in his past that obviously make sense why that's true. Also, very physically built like Luke, very strong guy, very attractive guy that girls instinctually like. But then when you get to know him, you shouldn't anymore, which was my mistake. Or whatever. Maybe it's not a mistake. It's just learning, whatever. So right after we broke up, I had a lot of resentment about him. And despite what I know about his vulnerability, because he had a mom that never hugged him, my Luke, his mom never hugged him. You know, he had a lot of issues with his brothers, who one of them was a murderer, like, growing up.
Whoa.
So yeah. That's so it was not a, there's reasons why he was the way he was. He wasn't born a psychopath or a sociopath, but I still couldn't forgive right afterwards.
Just so I can fill in the blanks here, are you able to say what city this person lives in?
I don't know where he lives right now.
This was in Los Angeles?
Yeah, but this is very interesting that you say that, because whenever things get really rough for him, as in too many people know who he is and call him out on it, because it's happened to him before with his quote unquote best friends, he will run away to another city to start all over. But you can't run away from yourself, right? So he'll just do the same things over and over again. And what I like about Los Angeles in a lot of ways is that this is where people run away to. But then where are you going to go if what's wrong is you, right? So
yeah, I'm dealing with that. That's themselves. For sure.
Yeah. So Luke does this classic thing, right? Definitely called gaslighting, but yeah. It also is this combination of flirting with her and guilting her. And that's his charm. Like I said, I'm still angry about it. So I don't like Luke. Or you know what? I'm not angry about my Luke anymore. But when I see Luke, I see kind of a very big spectrum of who he is. And I feel bad for him.
Right.
She kind of goes into saying with him, she wants to know why the things happened, but not what happened. And I kind of like that this was a very clear exposure of emotions, even though she's not super clear about everything that's happening. There's little to analyze because it's already been analyzed. So I'm in, you know, so I think we could go over this kind of superficially, but without, you know, while still looking into insightful things about ourselves.
with me, I am not proud of some of the decisions I've made over the years. I guess I'll just kind of leave it there. So I really know what you're talking about, but it's also, you know, if we have young people or, you know, people who need dating advice or seeking dating advice, listening, I mean, this is great advice that you're giving. Is like my usual stance when I think of young people venturing out in the dating scene or whatever, academia or anything, is like, you got to learn your lessons. And it's not necessarily healthy to avoid something because you've been warned, right? I mean,
Yeah. Obviously
that's what teenage angst is all about. But I think how cool would it be to be the generation being born right now and being able to grow up with these shows, having parents that aren't going to shelter their kids from these kinds of shows, because it really does give you just a brilliant sense of what you are looking for without having to go through it.
Not to bring up one of our classic terms, but emotional intelligence,
yes,
is bred through parenting and not through example and like pulling out from that example than it is from, like you're saying, like lecturing or watching it. Mm-hmm. Because we're kind of some things are good about right now where people are having one kid, if that, and they're trying to be as emotionally available as they can be. So maybe that'll make healthier people that make better decisions. But at the same time, those one kids are sometimes being so sheltered and so defended by their parents that we're kind of crippling them emotionally. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to always balance that a healthy amount of you can't do that, don't do that, because I want to make sure she doesn't get everything. And I think we all try to do that, just even despite our financial limitations.
Yeah, well, that's a whole other issue.
So there's just two little things here I want to say. First, one thing that kind of slipped by was that she talked about Kaylin. She said that that was the first person that didn't like her as a woman, and that, you know, basically she said everyone loves her except Kaylin, and that's because Kaylin's a sociopath.
Well, she was careful to say that she knew she was saying that everyone loved her, but since she didn't want it, I thought she framed, because she was acute, you know what I'm trying to say. She was careful to not, like, she knew what she was saying and was careful about it. But yes.
Yeah. So back to my Luke, my personal, my relationship with someone. He was, just in comparison, because they're so similar, I can compare. Not physically, I mean, physically, but not, you know, whatever. Right. Physically, they were very similar. And the way they're acting. My Luke was a little smarter than this Luke, because he would actually say the right things perfectly at the right times, but not at other times when he didn't want to. Where this Luke, I think, has, like he's saying, he does have a lot of pressure on him. Pressure from the guys, pressure to be the villain, from producers, I'm sure. Pressure from Hannah, because maybe he does genuinely like her. I mean, to be fair, these guys, the guys like Luke, end up married. Not that the, you know, they end up married to sometimes equally sociopathic partners.
Sure. Yeah.
So it's not out of the realm of possibility that, like, he's not
the worst guy ever. Or they end up as wife beaters.
Right. I know plenty of emotionally distant couples that are like this. Right. So what my Luke would do is something that he can't do here. he's in a bind where he still has to win her over because she's in charge. But when we were in a relationship and we got in a bind of any kind where we get in a fight or whatever, he would just bail.
Yeah.
On me, my Luke. And yeah. I can see this Luke doing the same, bailing, cheating. Like, I don't know if my Luke, I'm sure mine did too, and do whatever he wants. Also, he was an alcoholic, like a bad alcoholic. So, it, you know, being around alcohol was his thing. And so he had to do it. He did it whatever he wanted, basically, because so this is like my ultimate takeaway is that when you don't give kids a really like at least a decent childhood, and childhood is basically like means let them be selfish and be kid, you know, let them be kids means let them do whatever they want for a little while, then they become selfish adults because they just they never got to be selfish as kids. They never got to ask for that cookie or whatever. So then they become selfish adults. So that tends to be the markers of a bad childhood. So interesting, because then Hannah says then Hannah says something like she wants a guy that men are drawn to. Now, that to me is a problem with Hannah.
Well, hold on, because I have said on this podcast on numerous occasions that lots of women don't seek men in their point range because they either want to be the hotter one or they don't want to deal with having, you know, I've been through this. I think you have 2 points above, you have 2 points below, but I see a lot of women end up with men that are below the 2 points below range. So I thought it was cool to hear. It came across as her being very confident, drawn to, I was like, yeah, she wants, people are drawn to her. She wants someone in her point range. And that just means a whole lot to me, because I think about those things when I watch these kinds of shows.
I took it as she wants a guy that everyone wishes they had in all kinds of ways. It reminded me a lot.
I don't think that differently.
That strikes me as kind of socially unaware in a weird way. Because
I mean, let's say that hypothetically speaking, I'll put this into John Stamos. John Stamos is capable of getting a 10 because he's gorgeous and he's been on TV and he's actually extremely talented, right? He's very, very talented. He is a 10. He can get a 10, so he should have all of the privileges of being with someone who's a 10. And Hannah is saying, I think highly of myself, which is confidence that the pageant world probably has contributed to. And she's saying, I want to go for the best all-around guy that I can get. And that coming with that, it's people are going to be drawn to that person.
I took it as there's this episode of The Office where Dwight is speaking and captivates a lot of people and like captivates a room full, you know, a convention room full of people. And Michael Scott is jealous because he's the dorky boss that doesn't know he's dorky. And then he's jealous, so he leaves in a selfish fit. And Dwight comes and says, hey, you are not my speech. And then Michael Scott just says something like, hey, and like entertains him and jokes around about him. And then afterwards, he says something like, yeah, Dwight captivated, you know, 5,000 people, but I captivated the person that captivated 5,000 people. Mm-hmm. So I'm really the special one. So it strikes me as kind of one of these things where she wants to be seen through other people's eyes as opposed to her own.
Well, if that's true, I find no problem with that. And if Chris were here, I would just reckon he would, the pendulum would swing in my favor.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm, you know, when you say it the way you say it,
I just think of this is, thinking stuff I think about for some reason.
Sure, but when you say it the way you say it, it sounds better than what she said.
But I think about this way more than I should, than she doesn't. So it's just, that's the reason why.
Okay.
It's just my, it's like everyone's got their things that they dwell on. And since I grew up watching John Stamos, it's just the thing I dwell on. Okay. I actually have to get going soon here in real life. So it's just, how about we say our last bit here and then we'll take it home. Sound good?
I just said my last bit.
Oh, well, I don't want to have the last word. So I won't. I'll put the last word onto somebody else. So the Rose Pricks podcast, Ronnie goes after people if there's messed up people, but he very rarely loses it on somebody. So everything that you and I have talked about has been focused on Luke because that makes sense. He went off on Hannah for this whole sequence. I'll just leave it there because I don't want to put words in his mouth, but he made a really compelling case that it's like she just needs to snap out of it and stop this whole thing. He said he got more and more frustrated and screaming at TV as this date went on at her for dealing with this BS. Oh, and I'll just say that during the whole sequence, they sat on a lot of Craigs.
Yeah. I did see that. Well, she's trying to give him more excuses, and I can see doing that. I've done that. That's something women do all around. They, you know, what you're saying about point system, we women, and I don't like using terms like that, but I know this is anecdotally true, and I would even say there's probably statistics if we look it up, that we tend to go below our point range out of sometimes like this pity.
Yeah, exactly.
This puppy dog pity thing.
Yeah.
It's sometimes it's what you're saying, you know, guys are funny and they're this and that, you know, they're interesting.
I see a lot of women go down in number and end up with douche canoes. And that frustrates me.
In this case, I think she's giving you excuses because there was a strong connection at first. And I don't think it's fair to yell at her. She's been a very frank and honest bachelorette. She really is. You know, letting herself go blah at the bachelorette, which is awesome because that's what we want to see. The guys aren't great, honestly, but she's great.
Yep.
She should have had, you know, Caitlin's guys.
Oh, yeah. This would have been totally. We lucked out with Hannah. So,
yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's call it a good. I thought that was a good podcast. I managed to not fall asleep, which is a testament because you have no idea how on the verge of sleep. And so for you to pull me out of that haze and get me laughing and arguing, a testament to your podcasting ability.
Yeah. Calm. You ever need to like watch a lighthouse? Call me. I don't.
Okay. All right, y'all. See you next week.
Bye.